With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Hello, and welcome to the Keep Sounding Podcast. This is your bi-week edition. This is Brian, joined by John, as always. John, how are you doing?
Doing well, Brian.
How was your
Thanks for having me on the show.
Yeah,
it was good. It was different Thanksgiving than normal, just because of conflicting plans and stuff. But it was a good weekend. Got to let the family dispersed, and then my immediate family did. And then we had our own little mini Thanksgiving on Saturday and just talked about family gossip. So it was a fun time.
Good. Glad to hear it. Mine was mostly talking to Eagles fans over Thanksgiving. So
I'm sure that was pleasant.
Yeah, their team's really good. My team's really
Yeah, I mean, their team is better than every other team, so there's no one that they can shut them up if you get them talking and, talking about football.
Right. Yeah, no, they're just very excited to talk about how good their team is. So
must be nice.
Yeah, it must be real nice.
But I mean, I know the Panthers won, so that's cool, but we're still bad. We came across a worse team.
We're just less worse than we thought we were.
Right.
Exactly. But we did take a little bit of a break for Thanksgiving. It was kind of hard to
the aforementioned holiday, yes.
Yeah, it was hard to schedule the podcast just with everything else going on in our personal lives. So we took a little bit of a break, but so we'll break down the game that we didn't get a chance to break down yet. Panthers-Ravens. That was really fun, John.
Everyone is so excited to come back to this game, I'm sure, to revisit.
Yeah.
So I have one of my real good friends is a Ravens fan, and he came by to watch the game because it's our two teams are playing each other. That doesn't happen very often. Let's watch the game. And boy, did it suck.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody, neutral observer, Panthers fan, Ravens fan, no one would have enjoyed watching that game.
I wanted to turn it off by halftime. I was just fed up.
just bad football all the way around. I mean, kudos to the defense, which they're going to be a recurring theme while we talk today. But in terms of football watchability, the it was punt, interception, punt, field goal. That was the first half.
Yep.
So, and the Panthers were all punts. So nothing exciting happened.
Oh, but don't worry. It got even better after quarter two because it was just punt, punt, field goal by the Panthers, punt, punt, field goal by the Ravens, fumble by the Panthers, touchdown by the Ravens, turnover on downs, punt by the Ravens, interception by the Panthers, punt by the Ravens, interception by the Panthers, end of game. Ravens win 13-3.
Yeah, some stuff started to happen at the end where at least, one, the Ravens got into the end zone. So just, again, from, a pure football perspective, yay, touchdowns.
Somebody and scored, then
also,
yeah.
Right, and then also just, the ball changing hands, the fumbles and the turnovers and stuff, at least makes games more exciting. Now, from a Panthers perspective, why don't turnover run downs count as turnovers? They should, right?
They should, I think. Yeah. It's the same thing as throwing a pick on fourth down.
Right. Yeah, right. If you throw an interception on fourth down, it counts as a turnover. And if you just spike the ball incomplete and the other team gets the ball in a better spot, it's not a turnover. But if the Panthers turn the ball over four consecutive possessions and it just a colossal spiral out of control into the fourth quarter, So that was a good just kind of like, hey guys, don't forget who you are. And they're like, oh yeah, that's right. And then here it will just give the ball to the Ravens over and over again until they finally decide to put the game away.
Yeah, and once again, Carolina in that game decided to have Baker Mayfield throw the ball a lot, and that didn't work out well for them. 21 of 33 passing for 196 yards. No touchdowns, 5.9 yards per attempt, 2 interceptions, 4 sacks. Just not good. Baker Mayfield basically probably ended his time as a Panthers starting quarterback in that game. Oh, and the strong
in the defense. In the defense of the play calling, the Panthers running backs had 15 carries for 24 yards. So, like,
yeah,
it's not like running the ball was working either. Like, that's less than 2 yards per carry. You can't move the sticks like that, Brian.
No, you really can't. So, it was just overall a bad game. Carolina kept themselves in it, so I'll give them that credit. But just not a good game. There's not really much to be said. They hit a buzzsaw with the Ravens, who were also playing equally bad and have continued to play bad since then. So, you know.
Yeah, not great, but at least they bounced back with a new quarterback, which, by the way, very funny that, like, the ESPN headline summary of, like, the game recap is... Well, did you have anything else about the Ravens game before we...
No, we can go. We can move right on.
Yeah, I think people are going to turn off the show if we talk about that much, because they have a better game to talk about. The headline is Darnold leads Panthers past reeling Broncos, and I feel like that's such a misleading headline.
Because it is, yeah.
Sam Darnold could hardly have done less. Like, he didn't do anything bad, to his credit, but, like, in terms of contributing to the victory, like, very much a passenger in that win. Like, he had a couple nice throws to DJ Moore, and they were, like, only to DJ Moore. And other than that, it was just like, dang, look at Deontay Foreman go.
He also fumbled his own rushing attempt into the end zone, which turned into a rushing touchdown for him. So, good for him.
Right. But we ran the ball 46 times and threw it 19.
Yep. That's what this team's built for.
Right. And like I said, kudos to Sam for not messing up in a terrible fashion when he did throw the ball. But, like, he wouldn't ask him to do too much. He was pretty... had the weight off his shoulders for the most part.
Well, it's funny that I feel like the plan all along with Sam Darnold was for him to be basically just a game manager who could kind of run the ball sometimes and make a couple of pretty throws, which he made a very pretty throw to DJ Moore for that one touchdown. That was just...
Mm-hmm.
That was one of those plays where you see it and you're just like, God, I see why teams saw something in Sam Darnold. Because that throw in the end zone where he was just... It was thrown across the field. Just dropped it into the basket of DJ Moore in the end zone was really nice. Really, really nice. I do feel bad for Sam Darnold, but just because he's been so maligned as the Panthers quarterback, but he did exactly what they would have expected him to do in this game. They came out, they ran the ball a lot. The defense played well and he just didn't fuck up. He didn't, as I said in the offensive, bye week review, he didn't void his bowels on the field. That's
right.
All we needed him not to do. And yeah, the Panthers beat the Broncos, which was really, honestly, I know there's a lot of fans out there who really want Carolina to lose every game possible, and I get that, but beating Russell Wilson was just really nice. I enjoyed that a lot.
Yeah, don't worry. We got plenty more chances to lose games, guys. Don't worry.
Yeah. Well, their schedule is pretty soft coming up, so there is a chance they might make the playoffs, Sean.
Not outside
the realm of possibility.
They're going to lose at the Seahawks. They're going to lose. I think they're going to lose all the road games. They can maybe beat the Steelers. We'll see.
Yeah, just depends on how the rushing game goes. I mean, they go anywhere from rushing for 185 yards to rushing for 21 yards. So,
right.
Just depends.
But it is very satisfying to beat Russell Wilson, who I'll let you. I know this is your time to shine, but like. He's always rubbed me the wrong way in his very disingenuous seeming, like, good guy personality. And that now that he's on a bad team and he's, like, part of the problem and he's still the same dude, boy, oh boy, is it fun to watch him implode.
My thing with Russell Wilson, and touching on the disingenuous part, but he almost became more disingenuous when he went to the Broncos.
Oh yeah, he like really leaned into the character that he plays.
Yeah, like those Subway commercials, for example, where he was right. talking about his whatever sub, calling it spicy, even though all it had on it was mustard, for example.
Yeah.
He just very much is portraying a character, and he's not a good actor, so you see through it right away as just an outside observer. But the Broncos really talked themselves into Russell Wilson, and I know the Panthers did make a play for him, so thank God they didn't get him. But
right.
Seahawks fans were screaming up and down after the trade that he was kind of washed, and it sounds like he might be. I mean, he's not really hitting throws down the field all that consistently. Not really, like, I guess the whole thing with him in Seattle was just he'd run around a lot towards the end and find somebody down the field. And, you know, a defense can't hold a wide receiver for too long. It's just at some point they're going to get open just because you can't have your defensive backs running around for 10 seconds and expect them to cover a wide receiver who's just finding a way to get open. But, yeah, Russell Wilson is
also
just – oh, go ahead.
Also, there was a story a couple weeks ago that he's using like code words and audibles from the Seahawks. The Broncos are like, "What are you talking about? I don't know what that word is."
Yeah. My favorite was when the one defensive lineman from the Broncos walked over and just shouted at him. It was basically like, "We need to get this going." And
during the Panthers game?
Yeah, during the Panthers game. And in his press conference later, he basically acknowledged the guy. He's like, "Yeah, we do need to get this going." He's like, "Well, Russell, that's on right. you, buddy. You're running the offense."
Right. He's like, "Yeah, I loved it, man. I love the fire. We're just trying to get better, you know, man. Every day we're trying to – I love that we really care about winning. I love these guys." And it's just like, "No, Russell, no, shut up and play better."
Yeah.
Like, the story about him, like, on the plane, like, to London.
And oh,
like,
my God, yeah.
Exercising in the aisle. Like, you're doing too much, man. Like, you're also really, like – I think he thinks he's making himself look really good. Like, wow, he's such a hard worker. What a good leader. And it's like, you're playing so badly that you're digging yourself in a deeper hole. When you're like, look at how much I care and how much work I put in. It's like, yeah, and you're still terrible. Like, you need to do something
he's
different.
He's trying too hard to
no
be
one's
Tom
impressed.
Brady.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, like, to me as a former football player, if my quarterback was sitting there doing high knees on the school bus while I'm trying to sleep,
right.
I would be pissed off at him if he wasn't playing superbly in that game. It's
right.
Like you woke my ass up doing high knees in the fucking aisles just to show everybody, "Oh, look how much of a hard worker I am." Like, you know, mm-hmm. all about the team, blah, blah, blah. Like, he is just the fakest quarterback in the NFL
right now.
What's funny
is all these positive things about him are like, not when I say positive, I mean like how hard he works type of things. They're always reported on by Russell Wilson. Like, he's the one that tells people that he does these things.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's like, wow, like, you know what's crazy? I did all this crazy stuff, guys. Isn't that crazy? It's never like, little fun fact behind the scenes, Russell Wilson did this. It's always like Russell Wilson in an interview being like, "Yeah, guys, you know, because that's why I put in this effort. That's why I work out on the plane in between while everybody else is napping and I'm watching film before I, in between my workouts." It's like, no one asked you. And also, that's a psycho move. Like, please don't do that.
It's funny because, like, even looking at it in retrospect with someone like Luke Kuechly, like, mm-hmm. we would hear about Luke Kuechly doing all this extracurricular stuff, mm-hmm. but it almost never came from him. It was never, he was always the
right.
most, like, just genuinely, what's the word I'm looking for?
Like, hardworking, like
hard. I'm trying to think now. What is the word I'm looking for? But he was just, he never really boasted about himself, I guess, is the best way to put it. Like, he wasn't like gassing himself up in the media. He just did his thing. Like, he was obsessed with football. And you'd hear about it on the back end, but it was never like, "Oh, look at all these things Luke Kuechly is doing to be a better player." And it translated on the field when you heard about how much of a nerd he was on film, where it's like, you hear all this stuff about Russell Wilson and how he's like watching film and stuff and doing all this extra work, and it's not translating on the field. It just looks like shit.
Right. I was also, I still have this report.
Humble. That's the word I was looking for.
Yeah. Humble. Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. The tweet from like the radio interview where it was Tyler Palumbus, saying he's using code words from inside, from like the Seahawks, and someone replied and tagged Benjamin Albright, who's a beat reporter for the Broncos. He's like, "Say it ain't so, Benjamin Albright," and Albright's like, "No, there's truth to that." And so like, that's pretty funny. And of course there's another like report like from someone that's on the team's like, "No, he's never done that," but like people aren't gonna admit that. Like back
no, they're not.
The roster.
They're just gonna wait until he's off the team and throw him on
the
bus.
It's like with
the
Seahawks
are kind of doing, players.
Right. Yeah. And it just kinda shows like when you're winning, people are willing to tolerate things. This is extremely annoying, but you're really like you're winning games for us, so I can put up with like you're just a weird dude. But when stuff goes bad, no one has patience for it. So it's crazy that like the Seahawks had like one mediocre year under Russell Wilson under their helm, and then they got rid of him. And the players and even the coaching staff are like, "Boy, is that a weight off our shoulders?"
Oh, even Pete Carroll after that week one win, he kind of like threw him under the bus as well, which was very uncharacteristic of Pete Carroll. Mm-hmm. I forget what the quote was, but yeah, he pretty much was just like, I think his quote was something along the lines of, "People who have been in the building know what it's all about," and
right.
It's funny there's because, even, like, oh, go ahead.
Even, like, Tyler Lockett, who's, like, one of the good guys in the NFL, I think it was Tyler Lockett that said something along the lines of, like, it's crazy what happens when people are playing for the team and not for themselves or something like that.
Yeah.
When they were talking about, like, Geno Smith, which is, like, you know what the kind of the underlying message is under that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pulling up the Pete Carroll quote right now.
Oh yeah, but
I'm finding it. Geno's going off the wristband, and that's a big help. We never did that before. There was resistance to that, so we didn't do it before. Which is obviously Russell Wilson just not wanting to wear the wristband with the plays on it, I guess.
That almost seems like an ego thing than any more than
right,
anything.
And then yeah, a lot of it was just like quotes about like this is why Geno's been so good in where we didn't have this before. Like, he's going with the play call and like going with the flow when the offensive coordinator calls plays and not questioning everything, and you know, pushing back on stuff. So that's yeah. That's kind of the message.
Yeah, and like I was saying before, just a random observation, but if you're trying to be Tom Brady, you better be as successful as Tom Brady. Like, I just right. thinking about it from the aspect of, so we heard all this talk about Tom Brady, like sending text messages to all his wide receivers late at night about different play ideas he had and stuff like that. Well, it's Tom fucking Brady, and they won a Super Bowl that
right.
year. Where a guy like Russell Wilson doing all that stuff and not being successful, then it just comes across as being a douche.
Right.
Yeah. So
if I had to pick one game, one team to beat, it's the Broncos. And I feel bad. Well, no, I don't.
You shouldn't.
I mean, I guess I feel bad for the Broncos players that have to lose games. Russell Wilson is quarterback, but the Broncos have had some good fortune with quarterbacks lately. They're okay. They'll be okay to have some.
Yeah, they had themselves a Super Bowl with Peyton Manning. You know, it's fine.
And they also got like one of like arguably the greatest quarterback season of all time from Peyton Manning, just like coming in from nowhere. So
unfortunately spoiled by Russell Wilson and the Seahawks, but yeah.
Yeah, but now they get to just deal with Russell Wilson.
Yeah, the blowback.
Yeah. But on the Panther side of things, shout out Brian Burns.
Oh yeah, sacks. Absolutely.
So defensive player of the week. And he's now tied for fifth in the league in sacks.
Yeah, Brian Burns is definitely making a case for his extension, and I really, really hope that if they do extend him, which I think they should, obviously, but I really hope they shift to some kind of 3-4 defense where he's not playing defensive end a lot, because he's clearly better when he's playing stand-up rusher and just blowing shit up in the backfield. They still need to compliment him. I do understand why Panthers fans are upset about the fact that they retained Dante Jackson instead of Hassan Reddick. I kind of expected Marquise Haynes and Peter Gross-Matos to kind of take over as like a 50-50 starter and and kind of replace that production, but clearly they haven't. Haynes is still on pace for the most sacks of his career, so he's been good as a rotational pass rusher, but Peter Gross-Matos is still not living up to the name there. It's tough because Burns is really the only guy who's making a lot of who's making plays on those passing downs. Aside from Derrick Brown, I feel bad for Derrick Brown because he's playing a lot fucking better than his stats are indicating. Because he is the focal point of the offense's protection at this point. He is blowing up plays constantly. He is kind of coming into his own. Unfortunately, he's just on a team where the only other player that is really super productive as far as rushing the passer is Brian Burns. I think they need somebody else opposite him to really nail down the pass rush. Not to say the pass rush has been bad. It's just not as good as it was last year.
Yeah, it's kind of middling.
Yeah. Jeremy Chinn returned this week as well.
Yeah, he had a tackle early. I mean, he only had one tackle, but it was like early in the game, and it was like a big hit to stop the Broncos from picking up a first down and like force the punt.
Yeah, it was a third down play. Yeah, he just stonewalled the guy.
Yeah, and it was one of those things where it's like, wow, that's a great game by Jeremy Chinn, even though that was literally the only like
the contribution only play he had.
Yeah. But since it was early in the game, we're like, yeah, Jeremy Chinn's back. So nice to have him.
Yep.
The other I think defensive player that I saw, and I need to pull up the tweet now, because we haven't really talked about him much. But J.C. Horn's really good.
Yeah, he is really, really good.
And I'm going to pull up the stats. And they are – his like, coverage numbers this year are crazy from PFF. It's from PFF, so now I have to find it again. I should have just left it up.
It really is a shame, and I'll let you pull that up while I say this. It really is a shame because there are so many fans out there who are like, well, the Panthers should have drafted Justin Fields instead. Which is
fair,
not a terrible point. But J.C. Horn is a fucking baller. He's a monster. And I feel bad because he's stuck with... Apparently C.J. Henderson just sucks. It's at this point, that's just where he's at. And then he's got to deal with Keith Taylor and a bunch of backups opposite him. And it's not like the defense has been bad. Like they've done well. But J.C. Horn just consistently makes plays both in pass coverage, run coverage, and rushing the passer. I mean, there have been a number of sacks where J.C. Horn was in on it, pressuring the passer that helped the rest of the defense get the sack. J.C. Horn's just really fucking good. Like, he was worth that 8th overall pick. I'm sure at some point in, like, 10 years down the road, if Justin Fields turns out to be a franchise quarterback, we're going to look back and say, well, we probably should have taken Justin Fields. But I like J.C. Horn. I like him a lot. I liked him since the day we drafted him, and he is still paying dividends on that front.
So this is where we do the whole, like, how to be a fan thing, which is, I know, like, kind of mean, but the you can definitely forever make a case that the Panthers should have taken Justin Fields instead of J.C. Horn, but they didn't, so just let it go. Like, just enjoy J.C. Horn for being J.C. Horn. PFF has J.C. Horn among quarterbacks with 200 coverage snaps. He's allowed 138 yards, which is the fewest. Four first downs, which is the fewest, and a 38.3 passer rating, which is the lowest. So among yards allowed, first down catches allowed, and passer rating allowed, he's the best in all of them this year. Now, one caveat to this is the wide receiver, the catalog of wide receivers the Panthers have played this year is like really bad. Mm. But still, being the best, you have to be good to be the best, even if your opponents are weak.
I mean, he's gotten to face what, Amari Cooper, Mike Evans, Bengals wide receivers, T. Higgins, for example. Well,
Chase was out. Yeah, I mean, T. Higgins is good. Yeah, but
T. Higgins is good.
But yeah, they Yeah, I forgot about the Mike Evans one, but yeah, other for the most part, yeah, he's had. It's been not the best cast of receivers. I mean, Debo Samuel's in there too, and Debo Samuel did nothing.
Yeah.
In that game. So like, yeah, J.C. Horn's good. He's the. It's kind of like reminds me of the Chris Gamble kind of good that we had, and where he was really good for a little stretch at the end of his career, but it got no recognition because it was just like he didn't get any picks or any. He just didn't get targeted, and no one really noticed because he just never got targeted.
Doesn't the Horn have like three picks this year?
Yeah, which is good, and it's just like one of those things where like he's not. He's not getting targeted, so like because and part of it's because of Henderson being weak on the other side,
right?
But like, because then it just becomes a game of like, God, Henderson's just getting roasted over and over again, and that kind of takes everyone's attention from the fact that just like, has anyone noticed that like the other receiver hasn't gotten thrown at all?
I mean, I'd even go a step further. Like, Gamble was great; he was one of my favorite Panthers players of all time. But J.C. Horn just steps up in. The running game, the blitzing game, he's just a monster all around. I mean, like, there have been a number of times where I've seen him bearing down on a quarterback, and even if he doesn't get the sack, even if the defense doesn't get a sack, it causes a bad throw. Like, there was one where J.C. Horn leapt, like, 10 feet in the air, and the quarterback had to throw it over him, and it was just a terrible pass. Like, that's the kind of shit that J.C. Horn is good at. He can just be anywhere. He can do everything for them. That's the kind of, like, the Panthers haven't had a player like that since maybe Mike Minter and I guess Chris Gamble, though I think that he was more of a outside corner than anything.
Yeah. Yeah, and Horn goes into the slot a lot, too, which is something that not a lot of corners do. I think it's happening a little bit more than it used to.
But, most of the elite corners in the league do that, but that's only a few of them. So, yeah. I like Horn. I'm on the Horn bandwagon.
So the defense I think is in a good spot, and I guess we can probably talk about that for like the kind of end of the show, right? Mm-hmm. About how the outlook of the season, like how the season has gone so far and the outlook going forward. The defense definitely has pieces. I think that's kind of where this conversation has led us, right? Where Brian Burns yes. is 10 sacks, he's fifth in the league in sacks, he's fourth in the league in tackles for loss. He's very good. J.C. Horn is very good. Jeremy Chin is very good. Frankie Louvu is very good. Derek Brown is very good. So, like, the defense has got lots of very good players. We just need to get that offense. That offense just needs to get cooking. We got ourselves a football team.
Xavier Woods is also a very good safety. I'd actually like to see them use one of their second-round picks in this next draft on a safety. And the only reason
you've been pushing that for several years, Ryan.
I know, but the only reason I say that is I think Jeremy Chin thrives more in the linebacker-esque role. Like, maybe, like, not to, I just don't like him as a pure safety at this point. It's very clear he's most successful kind of being a wrecking ball. So whether he's more of a box safety or like a big nickel, I just want to see him more around the line of scrimmage because he's a big hitter. And so I'd like to see them find another safety where he can just kind of roam and be their roam guy, their spy guy, their robber guy. Like, that's where I want to see Jeremy Chin at. So I don't know if they'll do it, but that's kind of where I stand with Jeremy Chin. But other than that, yeah, I agree. I mean, J.C. Horn's probably already in the top conversation of, like, top 5-6 corners in the league. Brian Burns coming into his own. Derek Brown wrecking shit. Frankie Louvu, we get him for another year, thankfully, because he's been a monster all season. So they have another year to add some more pieces, and obviously they got to add a quarterback. They have some draft capital that they can build on that defense with, and they have an offensive line built up. They probably could use another receiver, but overall, I think it's just quarterback, round out that defense, and make the offense a little more productive. So,
especially because the offensive line's been as good as it is, and then, you know, all of them are under contract again next year. The one thing I worry about with the offense is the offensive line has been extraordinarily healthy this year. And for one, it shows how bad the quarterback play has been, because a lot of times there's a very strong correlation between offensive line effectiveness and even almost more so the offensive line health and like offensive success and team success. So it's almost a rare case for a team to have a strong, like a healthy offensive line for an entire season and still be this bad on offense.
Yep. Yeah, but Baker Mayfield really dragged that down for them, for sure.
Right. So now I worry just like how lucky can the Panthers be 2 years in a row with their offensive line? Because the unit is very good that we have on the field right now. It's just like, I don't know. It just feels too good to be true to expect the offensive line to be this healthy again with hopefully a better cast, like, you know, team they're blocking for.
Yeah,
it's all luck. It could happen again.
It is all luck for sure. I mean, they, as far as the offense goes, Bradley Bozeman's the only player that they have to find a way to retain next year. But they do still have Pat Elflein, if I'm not mistaken, under contract. Mm-hmm. I'd prefer they retain Bradley Bozeman, but we'll see. As far as depth goes, I mean, Cade Mays has been getting his snaps in as a fullback, as an extra blocker. That was a sixth-round pick for them last year, I want to say. Maybe fifth-round pick on the offensive line. So They do have some depth there. Sam Tecklenburg, if he's able to stick around next year as well, he's a decent interior lineman who has done stuff for them. So they're in a good place as far as the offensive line goes. I don't want them to stop investing in it because I think that the best thing you can do is add more depth pieces to it. So, you know, those mid-round picks, third, fourth, fifth-round picks, maybe add some more guys, especially since I think Cam Irving is not under contract next year, which is crazy to say because most Panther fans hate him, but he actually was one of the bigger reasons why they won the game last week because he was used as an extra lineman and graded out very well PFF-wise.
We love using Cam Irving as an offensive line. I don't know if it's not as noticeable when you watch the games on TV, but when I was at the Falcons game a couple weeks ago, and every other play, the official probably gets so tired of it, but like every other play, the official has to come out and be like, number 75 is reporting is eligible, and it's like half the plays on the drive they have to announce out loud. So they've found a use for him for sure.
I'll give Steve Wilkes credit. They're committed to their identity at this point. They started the season saying they were going to be a power rushing team. For some reason, Matt Rhule didn't do that. And then once Matt Rhule was ousted, now they're like, we're going to be a power rushing team. We're going to use multiple offensive linemen and multiple tight ends. And we're going to run the ball down your throat. So I'll take that.
I mean, they've made it work.
Yeah.
Gotta get that McCaffrey guy up out of here.
Yeah, all it took was getting rid of the best offensive player we've had in quite a while. Yeah,
we didn't use Irving much against the Ravens, but he was on the field for 29% of snaps and 35% of snaps in the Falcons and Broncos game, respectively. It's a lot of snaps for a tackle eligible player.
I do want to say I think that the Falcons game he came in because of injury for a little bit.
If that was, it wasn't much. Like, he was on the field as a extra tackle a lot that game.
Okay. I might be wrong. I thought I remembered hearing that somebody was injured, but it didn't last long.
I'm pulling up the deep numbers. But, yeah, either way, he gets a lot of snaps. Like, the Panthers have to be leading the league in plays with an extra tackle on the field.
That I would believe.
No, all of the – Moten, Christensen, Corbett – Icky and Bozeman all played 100% of snaps against the Falcons.
Yeah, well then,
so we had 19 plays with an extra offensive lineman on the field. That's a lot.
Well, I can't give Steve Wilkes shit. That's committing to your philosophy. Anyway, continue.
For reference, the Falcons, who also run the ball way too much, had zero plays with an extra offensive lineman on the field.
They don't have the depth that we have, John.
Yeah, they don't have Cam Irving, tight end tackle specialist.
Right.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
But as far as the rest of the offense goes, so you want to talk about wide receiver for a little bit before we move on to the running backs?
I mean,
it's basically the DJ Moore show.
Yes, it is the DJ Moore show. And I've enjoyed seeing Terrace Marshall start to come on a little bit, and I wonder what he would look like in a more functional environment, I guess you would say.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think he's not good enough to be like, yeah, we don't need a wide receiver, but he's definitely intriguing. And it'd be, especially with like Robbie Anderson God, it'd be, I think it's good to kind of see, to target a wide receiver acquisition in the offseason. I don't necessarily think you need to invest like a bunch, like a high draft pick in it, because you have DJ Moore and Terrace Marshall. And if you just find someone for depth, I think the Panthers are good there.
But it's actually funny
what they have there.
It's actually funny. I think Terrace Marshall is filling the role that Robbie Anderson was supposed to fill now that Steve Wilkes has taken over, because he's very much the 15, 20 yards down the field throw wide receiver.
Right. He's averaging 18 yards a catch, which is very high.
Yeah, and that's because he's literally pretty much only throwing the ball down the field, and he's excelling. It's kind of hard for me to believe that Matt Rhule couldn't find a role for him in this offense, but here we are. Mm-hmm. Now, I like Matt Rhule. I like Terrace Marshall a lot as far as the intermediate deep threat, and I think they're using Laviska Shenault well in a way to kind of like counterbalance that as the screen guy, the short yardage guy, where he's just going to catch the ball and run the ball down the field. So I like what they're doing with the wide receivers, but I agree, they could probably bring in one more wide receiver and run with those four and Shai Smith, though he hasn't really impressed me this season, and be okay at wide receiver.
Right. I think, I don't think you need to, it's not a high priority addition, but I think you just shore up the unit. Like I think there's enough between Marshall and Shenault, and then maybe eventually Smith, that like you kind of have this versatile deep receiving core with like a clear top guy in DJ Moore. And then if you just kind of add another threat, even if it's just like on the same level as Marshall and Shenault, just to kind of be rotation, like have rotations and have different looks, then I think that's kind of where it can make that receiving core more dangerous.
Yeah, I would agree. Maybe something like a Marvin Jones type player. Jones specifically, but that kind of skill set.
That kind of acquisition, like the Jaguars made with him a couple years ago when they got
exactly Jaguars. Yep. So I feel good about the wide receiver core. Obviously a lot of it comes down to the quarterback, but before we get into the quarterback, let's just talk about the running backs briefly. Deontay Foreman, very good. Do we re-sign him in the offseason? ?
Probably.
Yeah, I would think so.
Good.
Yeah. I was just gonna say, even if they choose to draft a running back with one of their 2 second-round picks, which I think would be a good idea, it's not like, as long as whoever this new coach is doesn't decide to Matt Rhule it and only give Foreman one carry per game, I think that could be a really effective rushing attack if you retain most of the pieces of the offensive line and you keep Foreman, you draft a young guy, you pair him with Chuba Hubbard and maybe Raheem Blackshear, and you just have a nice solid core of running backs and kind of go by committee until someone gets the hot hand. I think that would be a good approach for the way the offense is structured at this point.
Right. I think running backs, you just kind of like, it's one of those things that I think you, and it's kind of like offensive linemen, like you touched on a little bit ago, where it's not a bad idea to just take one in the mid rounds every couple of years and see if one pops.
Right.
Cause it doesn't hurt you if you miss, like if you whiff on the picks. But like you have the highest chance of a hit on a running back in the middle round. So it's just like after you kind of go after your targets with the first couple and like the first round or two and like where you really have need, just like, you know, throw a third round pick at a lineman, throw a fourth round pick at a running back every couple of years just to keep the cupboard stocked and see if one pops.
Right. And I only agree with that strategy as far as running back goes if you haven't already invested a top 10 pick in a running back like Christian McCaffrey. Right. They're in a good situation now. Right. Yeah, they're in a good situation now because they can do that because they don't have a lot invested in the running back position. So,
which is the right way, I think, to build a team is that you just it's a little dehumanizing, but you just kind of like, you know, find and until you find one that's good, right? And then if one hits, and then you're like you ride it out until they start to slow down, and then you start the process over again, right? Like, you know, we draft a running back in the fourth round this year, and they back up Foreman, and they're like, oh, they're good enough to shoulder the load. And then, you know, you do that for a couple of years, and then you find like, oh, maybe they're starting to slow down. Let's start the whole like running back, you know, carpet bomb approach and see if we can hit another one and let this other guy walk before he completely his legs fall off. And you just kind of use that as your running back rotation long term. Again, it's kind of an inhuman approach because you're talking about like this guy's washed at like 25, but that's kind of how running backs work. Like you just said, the Panthers need to get a young running back behind Deontay Foreman, and Deontay Foreman is 26 years old. So like that's just kind of the nature of the position.
Unfortunately, at this point, it is. There's not many that really take over the game aside from the really top end guys like Jonathan Taylor and Saquon Barkley, and even then they could fall off over the next couple of years.
I mean, look at the Cowboys.
Yep.
Like Ezekiel Elliott was like the guy and a really, really highly regarded running back prospect, and he looks borderline washed and looks like the second best running back on the Cowboys, and he's 27 years old. And it's been that way for a couple of years now.
Yep.
So it comes at you fast. Life comes at you fast as a running back in the NFL.
Yep. Running back by committee is the future. Mm-hmm. I don't even want to talk about the tight ends just because they've been basically an extension of the offensive line.
They're just smaller, faster linemen.
They've had a few plays. Like Tommy Tremble had a nice touchdown pass earlier in the season. Stephon Sullivan had a nice catch in the season. For some reason, they want to make
it says Ian a lot Thomas about tight end possession when one of the highlights of the year is like Sullivan had a catch.
Yeah,
so that was cool. That was cool. Like, yeah, I guess.
Overall, they just need to find a better receiving tight end. But as of right now, their tight end game is very much just an extension of the offensive line, which fits their game plan. So, hey, whatever. But let's talk about the quarterbacks. So Baker Mayfield, that's an F, right? Just straight up.
The cost for that failed experiment was much smaller than the Sam Darnold one.
Right. That is 100% acceptable. Yeah, that was Matt Rule's last gasp, basically, and it turned out to be awful. I don't think Baker Mayfield and Sam Darnold last year are kind of neck and neck as far as like watching them in the pocket, as far as how frustrating it was.
Oh yeah, like the complete lack of awareness.
Which is funny because Sam Darnold was behind a really terrible offensive line, where Baker was behind a, you know, pretty good offensive line, and he still looked bad. Yeah. So, PJ Walker, I think he deserves to be a backup in this league for a long time based on his performance with Carolina. He just seems like the kind of guy who can inject some life into a struggling offense, I guess. Not going to win a Super Bowl, not going to take you to the playoffs, but if you need him to win like a game or two, he might do it. That's the way I look at him.
I don't have like inside knowledge, but he seems like a real good locker room dude.
I mean, I think he kind of has to be, considering he stuck around as the fourth quarterback with really no guarantee he'd even have a roster spot. Like the fact that he even got a chance to start is a miracle because of the fact that Matt Corral got hurt and Sam Darnold got hurt in the preseason before Panthers even took the field for their first game. So
Yeah, and I think that's almost more important than anything is you need your backup quarterback to be like a good film room and good locker room guy.
Yeah.
Because you're generally operating under the assumption that you need your starter to win games, and the backup's just like, hey, can you start maybe, and then like be
don't lose the
positive,
game.
Right, yeah, don't lose the game, and then be a positive presence for the team the 95% of your job when you're never on the field. And I think PJ Walker's good at that stuff.
Yep, I would agree there.
I really wish we could see Matt Corral this year. But
yeah, that would have been cool. I mean,
I don't think it's really unfortunate for him, but I don't think you can factor him at all when you're talking about like targeting quarterbacks in the draft this year potentially or anything like that, because like you can't. And this is unfair, but you can't just pin your quarterback hopes on a late third round pick that hasn't shown any snaps. And then the only live snaps he had the preseason, he was very, very bad. And
yeah,
obviously,
he did not look good.
Obviously, if he didn't get hurt, he'd have plenty of time to improve on that. But there's nothing. You have to see something to be like, nah, let's not. We're not going to go after CJ Stroud because we're going to let Matt Corral have a shot. Like, sorry, Matt. But you're going to have to, like keep working at it. You'll get a shot eventually, but you're going to have to fight over, like, you know, a higher prospect, which is possible to come out of that. Like, like Washington took Robert Griffin III and Kirk Cousins in the same draft, and Kirk Cousins outlasted RG3. So, like, it's not unheard of for a lesser-known prospect if they play well enough for long enough to kind of work their way into.
They already drafted Matt Corral, so there's no reason to cut him or anything like that. It was a dart throw. They're gonna make another dart throw with, you know, a higher potential percentage of hitting. But I'm very happy with, you know, Matt Corral, whoever they draft in the first round, and either Sam Darnold or PJ Walker coming in to be the veteran guy. I would not be upset with that quarterback room at all.
I think. Well, did you say Sam Darnold or PJ Walker?
Sam Darnold or PJ Walker, one of the two,
right,
as the third guy.
I think the most likely quarterback room is one of those. Yeah, it's one of those two. Yeah, Corral and a rookie.
Yeah, because they'll have a defined backup there, even if Matt Corral's not ready. And
right,
let the guys just fight it out and see who works. Because worst case scenario, you burned a first round pick on a quarterback that you can develop. If Matt Corral turns out to be the guy, I don't think he's going to turn out to be the guy, but there's apparently a lot of people out there who believe he will be or could be.
Yeah, but there's always people that are. I mean, I was super high on Matt Corral. I was super excited that we got him. But, like, you know, he's still a long shot to be a successful NFL quarterback.
Right. As are most third round rookie quarterbacks. So.
Right. Yeah. Like, I mean, like, look at the last quarterback class where, like, they had all the first round picks, like, it was, you know, Trevor Lawrence, Zach Wilson, Trey Lance, Mac Jones, and Justin Fields, and then Davis Mills was like the like next tier in like the late round, like the second or third round or wherever he got picked, and he's been fine, but also like he's really bad. It's just kind of how it works. There's a reason they go in the third round.
Right. Yep. Projection for the most part.
So. It would be nice to end up with CJ Stroud.
Not gonna happen, John. I'm sorry to burst that bubble.
Jewett's very funny though. Right now, the Texans would pick first, and they would pick one of the two quarterbacks, and then the Bears are second. They would not pick a quarterback. So there's a trade up the opportunity there. Then of the next four picks, one of them is the Panthers, and the other three go to other teams or traded picks.
I do enjoy that a lot.
Like, number three would be the Rams. They gave that to the Lions. Number four would be the Broncos, but that's going to the Seahawks. Then number five is us. And then number six would be the Saints, but their pick's going to the Eagles.
That one, like, pleases me more than anything.
I don't know. Losing their pick to the Lions, I'm like, cool for the Lions because it would be nice for them to be good, but I don't have anything against the Rams. The Broncos pick going to the Seahawks for Russell Wilson while the Seahawks are better at quarterback too. Like, the Seahawks upgraded at quarterback and got the Broncos first round pick for their old quarterback. That's really funny to me. And then the Saints giving up what's going to be a borderline top five pick because they really, really wanted to pick two picks last year. And just like, basically we're like, we don't need to draft next year. We just want this year instead. Also very funny. Just lack of patience.
Very closed-minded.
Yeah.
And it would have made, it would have been a little different if Drew Brees was, you know, still in his, like, even the, like, late stages of his career, but he's not there anymore. And they have Jameis Winston and Taysom Hill and Andy Dalton. Yeah. It's like, okay, you probably could have used that pick, guys.
Yeah, you think they're probably really looking at that, like if I'm a Saints fan, I'm like, man, it'd be really nice if we could just lose some games and get Will Levis or C.J. Stroud, but no.
No.
We had to get, we got Chris Olave for no one to throw to.
Yep. At least for another year or so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, at least the Panthers didn't trade away a bunch of picks for a quarterback. So.
At least we're basically past that at this point.
Yeah, exactly. Never happened. So
they have done well. They have done well on the whole. Like, I know we talked about the Scott Fitterer with Matt Rhule being gone thing a couple weeks ago, but like they've done a pretty good job assembling a decent roster with in light of the Sam Darnold blunder.
Yeah, they have done a good job of that. It's like, as much as many people are gonna like hate on Matt Rhule, he at least accomplished his goal of rebuilding the offensive line and building like at least a solid defense. Like, the quarterback thing has been a fiasco, but you know, like those two goals, he definitely delivered on them. So good luck to you in Nebraska, Matt Rhule.
Yeah, don't miss good for him finally on his feet though.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sure that, I'm sure that if he didn't land on his feet, his life would be ruined with that whole, like, you know, $70 million that Dave Tepper gave him or whatever. Yeah.
I just ignore money when I talk about these situations.
Right.
I know I am just as jealous as everyone else when it comes to, like, their how much money they have. But, like, I don't think it takes too much sting out of the job situation, right? Because, like, what you make up for, what you gain out of, like, well, I got so much money to, like, lose my job, you kind of, the trade-off to that is, like, you very publicly get let go from your job, which comes with it some shame, I think, and you have to kind of compartmentalize it.
I'm sure he could take $30 million of that and make himself disappear.
See, that's what I'm saying. Like there, I would love to have $30 million, and I would absolutely trade it, like, take that, but, like, if I suck at my job and I get fired, like, a few people know. Like, millions of people don't know, like, hey, guys, look at how bad this guy is at his job. Look at how terrible he is. Let's all point and laugh and make fun of him and watch him lose his job and become unemployed.
He has the means to change his name and change his identity and change where he lives. So,
but that's also not going to happen because of, you're always, like, once you're Matt Rhule, you're always Matt Rhule.
Yeah, give it a couple years. I'm sure people will forget.
I don't know, he's in Nebraska now. That's also very, very
high. Well, yeah, well, he did that to himself. If he wanted to disappear himself, he absolutely could have. I've watched Breaking Bad, John. There's a way.
Yes. The documentary series Breaking... I've watched the documentary series Breaking Bad. I know it's possible to do this.
It's very possible. Just subbing a football coach for a chemistry professor. That's all.
Right.
It's the only difference. Yeah. But, yeah, anything else we want to touch on before we head into the bye week, John?
Nah, I'm good. We're just going to come back next week and look forward to the Seahawks West Coast 4 o'clock game.
Oh, God, it's another 4 o'clock game. I hate it. Okay. Well, from everyone here at the Keep Sounding podcast, this is Brian joined by John as always. Stay tuned, stay safe, stay healthy, enjoy your bye week, and we will talk to you next week.